what we want to see is a show.
Well,
you know, on the assumption who the consultant is or what the position is.
When
Albert was talking about radio, the engineer, like in some cases, engineer is actually on staff, an employee like at KPFA.
That person
who is in Hawaii, he is actually on staff. And then also we carry a person as staff and pay the person here in the national office, too.
Yeah, it would give greater clarity, because I remember when we were approving KPFA's budget, right? And I had brought up that I thought the web host, the website was an unusually high line item, and Arlene pointed out that a consultant was being used for that rather than an employee. Well, at KPFK, we have an employee who fills that position of webmaster, so it would give us the ability to see if numbers square out the way they're being done, and we might identify, you know, cost savings at certain stations by being able to identify what's being paid for via consultants, you know, and if there's anything unusual, it would at least be highlighted to our attention. So, yeah, if you could do that, that would be very gratefully appreciated, and it could be adapted to other budgets.
One other thing that I did also, based on requests from people at the station and the finance committee, usually what happens in our news department, which is, you know, a very good news department but very understaffed, when someone goes on vacation, what they do, they use a grant we receive to fill that position. So now what I did is I added a 0.6 FTE in there, because no matter, you know, if anyone goes on vacation in the news department, we have to replace them. So that we can, you know, because it's like it's a skeleton crew already. So I added that as part of the budget.
But, you know, so Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Yes, Alberto?
Well, the question then, Bertol, is when this person comes in, and that's how you define it, when this person comes in to pinch hit for your new staff person, do you have a personnel file on the person? Do you have a W-4 on that person? Do you give him a paycheck or give her a paycheck? Do you deduct FICAs, Social Security? Do you do all of that? Or do you bring in the person and say, you're going to pinch hit? I will pay you for the next 5 days because a regular person is gone on vacation. I will pay you $100 a day. I'll give you straight $500 check.
Let me explain to you how it's done.
Wait. So the answer is very simple. The answer is I pay them a straight $100 or whatever, or I bring them into the payroll situation and pay them accordingly. And that would determine whether you put the person as an employee or as a consultant, period.
Okay. 80% or maybe 90% of those people are people who already work in the newsroom on a part-time basis. So what happens is when someone goes on vacation, those people who are working part-time are brought in to do more time. So they are part of the budget.
So they're already
employees. You're just adding more extra hours. No problem. Move on.
Okay.
Only people who literally act as consultants. I know that we have certain programs paid for on a consultancy basis or, you know, as an outside contractor here.
Uh-huh.
And you mean that they're produced outside and they're paid for, and that's someone who has to be listed as a contractor or a consultant, depending on, you know, what the item is that they're doing. But what you're talking about is a part-time employee, yes, who does more hours.
Yeah, this is I added half FTE as a vacation fill-in in the news department.
Well, if you would, just for clarity's sake, anyone who's in that status who is, in fact, you know, already in our system as an employee, keep them in your FTE system. But if there is anyone that is being paid, as Alberto says, on a flat, you know, contract basis, this is your contract and we don't deal with your taxes, anyone who's paid in that capacity has to be listed as separately as a consultant because the tax implications are different and we need to be able to deal with those. So if you would please, and, you know, and I want to work on, you know, streamlining that for other budgets as well so that we have easy clarity to be able to say, yes, we have this many actual employees and we have this many people that we pay as contractors. Because sometimes you can have what's like really an incredible sort of bloat of pay going to people that don't show up on your books as employees. I mean, that can easily happen where you have many contractors and you're not even aware of it because they aren't easily specified in a budget. So, but yeah, anyone who's already an employee, please, by all means, keep them in the FTE.
Yeah,
so
that was my intention, to keep the budget under control.
Thank you. Well, yes,
an excellent
plan.
Are there other questions?
Is this Bruce?
Yes, Bruce.
Please, go ahead, Bruce.
This is a different one. If you look at the section for board expenses, it looks like there's an addition mistake in the total. Because you've got $6,000 for national board expenses for board meetings, and then you've got what looks like $12,700 for the LSB, but the total showing is $24,696, and then the grand total comes out to $30,000. I mean, it looks like you're about $6,000 off. Maybe you added that $6,000 in twice from the national.
Which part of the budget, the general budget?
This is under administration, and below that, it's under the board expenses.
Board expenses.
And it looks like the $6,000 for the national board has been added in twice to your total.
And I must say,
look at the LSB line items. It's 127 and 128.
Uh-huh. I see what
and it shows, it looks like around 12,700, but you show a total of 24,700 there.
Yeah, I see that.
And that also sounds a little bit anomalous because 6,000 wouldn't be probably a realistic figure for national board expenses based on the so far 4 meetings per year, since I don't think it's been reduced to 3 and 4 members per meeting, and the flight and all that. I think would be more than $6,000 based on the travel expenses I've looked at. So perhaps that, anyway, if you could make a note, Bertolt, whatever the corrections are there. And $1,000 a month sounds high for LSB expenses. Unless it's encompassing some.
No, for the national board expenses, I have $1,500 every quarter.
Right, that's what we all do.
$6,000. But for local board expenses, I have $2,196, and the LSB election was $10,500. So for local board expenses, I have $12,696. That's a good catch. And then for the national board expenses, $6,000, so it adds up to $18,696.
This is LaVarne. There's no LSB election, so you can take $500 out for those 3 months.
No. This is from
the election we just had.
The last over into the new year. I wondered about that. Yes, the carryover expenses.
But, yeah, that's the same
for
our budget, too. No, I'm just saying that it looks like the
addition doesn't.
It's just throwing you off. It's $6,000 you don't really higher than your actual real expenses.
Okay, so if you could just make a note to correct that, Bertolt, if there's some.
Which one is that? The board meeting and travel?
No, it's under. If you add up LSB.
Yeah, I think that.
And the election.
LaVarne. What was happening was that we were actually using the central services to take care of national board expenses. But since that is not being transferred with some stations, that what I plan to do this year, and I need to let everyone know this, is that I will actually bill you directly for the national board expenses, because what has happened is our credit card has built up,
mm-hmm.
and we have not been able to pay it down because we're not getting central services. So therefore, for your national board directors, I'm going to bill you directly, and you will have to pay us in order for me to reduce our credit card. Our credit card is at the limit.
Will that come out of central services?
We will adjust your central services.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, you just want to make sure the bills get paid.
One thing here, our local board expenses are probably somewhat higher than other local boards because we often have to have hire a security guard or two for our local board meetings.
We do, too, but I think $1,000 a month sounds extremely excessive. Is
$1,000 a month?
Is that $12,000?
$183 a month.
It's not $100,000 a month. That would be ridiculous.
Oh, okay. That's carrying over the board expenses for the election, correct, Bertolt? The leftover amount? Okay. Thank you. Sorry, Alex. It took me by surprise, too. Oh, yeah. Well, $180. I mean, security is whatever the local market requires, you know, so.
Yeah. Maybe if things get better, maybe we can cut down on that expense in the future.
Yeah, we've had to have security a few times, too, and then we took care of that problem. We'll see how the new year looks, you know. But anyway, better than being sued because something gets out of hand. So, I do think, Bertolt, that the estimation on national board expenses may be a little bit low there because $1,500 per quarter, if we ended up having four meetings, would probably not be sufficient to actually fly and lodge four board members to four board meetings per year. But I guess I'm willing not to argue over that, but I think it might be a tad unrealistic. I would suggest if there's, like, actuals for last year. I know if they were being billed through the central through central services, maybe that's not.
But I think it's the figure that we're all using, so it's.
If it is, then I guess we'll live with it and adjust accordingly.
Yeah,
but I think it might be.
Yeah.
That's why everybody has to buy their tickets in advance when they're on the national board, so you can get cheap tickets, right? Okay. All right. Are there other questions for Bertolt on these expense items right now from anyone else? I might have a couple of other questions, but I'd like
this
to.
This is Bavarn. I sent you guys a copy of the bill back, November bill back. Did you receive that in your mail?
Thank you.
Yeah, I received that.
So those, Bertolt, we're going to have to take care of those. That's going to have to go into your budget. There's no way out of that.
Well, we've been paying some of those, haven't we?
It's what you see is what it is.
So what I would suggest, Bertolt, if you can tonight while we're doing this, obviously make notes on any line items or various sections that need to be amended, appended, or otherwise modified between now and the meeting of the 30th so that we have.
Yeah, I think you need me to identify clearly the consultant, so I will run the. I've been doing that. I'm running the general ledger and seeing what we had last year. Actual from October to September.
Thank you. And the bill backs, LaVarn, what is the total on the bill backs that you've sent out for WBI?
$83,000.
Okay, so if you could encompass that into your budget, Bertolt, also, which may require some further adjustment, but some of these things. And then I think we're going to need to have some sort of a motion regarding the. Essential services. I mean, some of it, you know, again, is symbolic if the money's not there, but to, you know, that this has to be contemplated somehow. We insist that everyone pay 19% except for New York. I appreciate a commitment at the 5%, which would be more than has happened.
Madam.
Yes, Alberto?
I think we need to think about that.
Okay.
I think that we should be, come back on the 30th.
Okay.
And deal with that resolution.
Yes.
I think I made a point that 5% is might not be acceptable to the national office, not that it matters much, but that 5%, I think that we should be thinking about how we can deal with that big Amy Goodman paycheck that we don't send her, and maybe, I don't know, I just don't want for us to deal with it tonight.
No, I don't think we will, but I'm suggesting to Bertolt in terms of things that we're going to have to resolve on that day.
And as it relates to the bill backs for the national board meetings, I know that at KPFT for at least a year now, we had it in our budget to do the bill back situation. And as a sidebar, I'm hoping our business manager is sending their bill backs to you, LaVarn, so that we can ease the burden on the national office. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thank you,
Alberto. Are there other members of the committee that would like to speak yet at this point? Anyone?
I would like to say one fast thing.
Paul,
I'd like
please.
To thank LaVarn for sending us the detailed bill backs because the. We need detailed bill backs. We haven't been seeing them all the time, and I'm glad we're getting them.
Thank you.
No, Len sends it every month. But you mean the committee? Okay, great. I'll make sure we get it to the committee.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay. And the things that I heard regarding the various staff increases, I mean, obviously, generally, I'm completely opposed to anything going up anywhere except for the things we can't avoid. But the fact that you're expecting to be paying a manager and weren't paying one last year, well, that's an obvious no-brainer as to why there'd be an increase in that part of the personnel line. Were there any other increases of significance? You mentioned programming. There was some increase. Is there anything that could be highlighted?
Yeah, let me go over that quickly for you. Board expenses decreased by $54,000. Admin increased by $46,000. Programming by $16,000. Development expense by $73,000. And you understand why that is. That was because we are sending all those premiums and all that stuff.
Okay, so the development expenses are up because you're actually fulfilling the premiums of people who have already pledged. So you're correct. So you're experiencing some increase in expense there. And hopefully an increase in goodwill, but not necessarily a corollary of income to that particular expense.
Yeah, exactly. We're mailing stuff. We're paying the stamps. As a matter of fact, I also implemented a program where we have saved so far $1,000 in mailing, 68 cents per piece of mail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And the administrative expenses, what are the highlights there in those other line items where the actual total goes up? I mean,
for admin expense, we are projecting $11,000 increase in utilities office, $44,000 increase in legal settlements.
Increase what?
In legal settlements.
Of course.
Settlements. $3,000 increase in debt retirement.
Okay.
About $5,000 decrease in credit card discount fees. That's a decrease.
Okay.
And then $2,300 decrease in rent lease of equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that all adds up to about $50,000 altogether increase.
Oh, in administrative expenses. What is the debt retirement? If I may ask.
Heap.
Levon?
It's the heap.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. You don't need to go no further. Okay.
I'm glad you spoke to Levon.
There are things that live on, heath, duck races, all sorts of things that you don't even have to say anything else. Okay.
We can't discuss the legal stuff.
We can't discuss the legal stuff here, but that's why we have executive session scheduled at the top of the next meeting. I think it's reasonable to go into some discussion of the legal expenses as well. Any increase anywhere, especially when it's related to litigation, we should at least have a moment to discuss, I think. So I think let's have that as one of the things that we discuss on the next meeting. Are there any, Bertolt, in terms of staffing, or is any other increase in staff besides the actual hiring of a permanent general manager? Are there any other staff positions that have been added or anything that we should be aware of?
No, not. Well, the way it's broken down is in the general administration department, there is an increase of 0.7.
And is that accounting for the various fill-in people that you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the general manager, the 0.7 FTE. In programming, in 2010, we had 9.9 FTE. In 2011, it's 7.48. This is just a reclass because some people who were both in programming and operations. You know, so what we did is we adjusted all of that.
Okay.
And then put them in the proper department based on how many hours they were working the most in certain department. In development expenses, in the development department, we had 1.75 FTE, now it's 3.40. So these all add up between programming, development, and operations, we add up another 0.7 FTE.
Okay,
that's basically it. Yeah.
In your development expenses there, your 2.24 or whatever, is that your subscriptions department as it is out here?
Yeah.
And you only had 1.7 people there before, now you have 2.2?
3.4. I'll tell you exactly what it is. In development, we have... news editor, anchor, premium manager, data entry, clerk.
Is that all under development?
Yes. And then all the clerks and data entry all add up all together to 1.4. Out of the three, data entry and clerk, they add up to 1.4. And
okay,
the premium
And did you say that you had a news person as part of development?
Yeah, I think that's the entry C35. She's half in development, half in news.
So are you splitting her in half?
She writes some of our grants.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess I don't know how that gets handled. I suppose you're going to count her half in one department and half in another. That's an interesting thing. So, because obviously news is part of development, but grant writing certainly is. So.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
It's very easily. It's very easily broken.
That's what I figured.
To be in development and to be in programming.
Yeah.
And you split the times by percentages just like you do everything else. And the only thing that will show is that the same person is doing, let's say, 0.25 in development and 0.25 in programming. And that's how you break it up.
That's what I would figure. Yeah, I agree. So can you do that, Bertolt? Because it is,
I can change that in a few seconds.
Because it gives a different feeling. It gives a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, and there was also a news person, besides the news director, was there also a news person in the development category?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well, you should send them over to programming.
Right. Completely. And that's how I feel about it, too, because sometimes we end up, just like the consultants, we lose people in the wrong categories. And also, you know, when it comes down to, like, someone grant writing, then you need to be able to compare that against what grants you actually have coming in to see, I mean, that's one of the things you do to see if it's worthwhile in terms of what you're investing in that position is money coming in for what they are doing as a task, you know. And sometimes you'll discover that it's coming in fantastically, and sometimes you'll discover it's not coming in at all, but you need to know how much of the person's time is spent doing that versus an on-air programmatic aspect to their
job. I'll say that.
I appreciate it.
So, that person is probably going to be 20% in development and 80% in news.
Okay, so that'll change your FTEs in programming slightly, so.
Yeah.
Okay, are there other questions from the committee on these expense items?
A question about the overall bottom line.
Go ahead, Bruce.
And I understand the issue about the central services was raised and, you know, paying 5% and said 19.5 million, but still on your budget on is line 66, you know, it's coming out, you know, just rounded off, like you're talking about a $500,000 deficit. And I was under the impression that we weren't supposed to be doing deficit budgets. So how would
that
resolve
is, that? That is after central service.
Right.
Yeah.
That's after your, and I understand, so about $418,000, something like that, is would be unpaid. You're, you know, just putting in there that you don't think you'll be able to pay that amount of central services, but the amount of deficit is still higher than, about another $60,000 or so higher, and it looks like it has something to do with the capital expenses. You mentioned a lot of places in your expense budget. There's a lot of increases, and it just seems to me, though it might be painful, that you should be looking for a lot more ways to decrease the spending, even if it means cutting back where you think you would like to be able to spend money, like in development. I mean, I know what you mean when you say it costs money to make money. But, you know, how can you budget for costs and then not be, you know, without knowing that there's actually going to be an income to pay for it?
For development, if we don't spend that money, we're going to be in a deeper hole. As far as milling the premium, most of it is, two-thirds of the development expenses are actually mailing premium, printing renewal forms to send to the members, printing invoices, and fund drive and shipping expenses. We've only projecting another $10,000 increase in major donor and development expenses to reach out to major donor. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, it's like kind of a debt spend. If we don't spend that money, we're going to make a lot less, and we're going to be in a deeper hole. If we can cut somewhere else, but definitely not in development.
Bruce, the way I look at it, this is kind of like a debt that we accumulated because we failed in previous years to honor our commitments to our listeners.
Sure.
So we really have an obligation. I mean, of course it was cheaper in previous years because we didn't honor our obligations, or at least not sufficiently. So now we're trying to regain the confidence of the listeners, and that is going to, mean an
I understand that. I understand that because we're having to do similar thing. I understand that.
Yeah.
I guess why I was through that, maybe I shouldn't have said development, but I just mean I'm wondering if there's, if there's some places where you could still, if there isn't some places where you could shave off some of the money being, because, I mean, I don't understand. I'm a little bemused by the large, minus amount at the, that's your bottom
line. Again, look at it in historical context. Maybe Art Paul could correct me, but I think in the previous 3 years, WBAI failed to pay any central services whatsoever, with exception of one or two emergency things or something, but basically, we haven't been paying it. This is the first budget where we're trying to tackle this. So yes, it's
not good.
It's not good, but we're trying to turn it around.
Right.
And also, don't forget that our situation is a little bit different than other stations because of the rent. We have to pay the antenna. I mean, we're in New York. Things are very, very expensive here. They're much more expensive than at some of the other stations, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, between
we're trying to do something about it, but that's not going to happen immediately.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out to Bruce that we're all tackling that situation in New York. And that's why that's one of the reasons why we're taking a breather between now and the 30th. And that's another reason why we're going to go into executive session on the 30th so that we can talk about your particular concerns of $455,000 in red ink and our concerns and see if we can come up with some kind of nodding, maybe not necessarily a consensus, but at least a nodding on those particular situations that we're going to have to be facing in 2011, Bruce. And I understand your concern because we had discussions about that, and we'll just have to deal with it hopefully on the 30th and see if we can come up with some noddings of heads on this particular issue. And that's all I have to say, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Alberto. I think that, there is concern, just to pick up what he's saying about this, and Bruce, your concerns are well taken, and I think that we need at least to account for this by some motion on the 30th. So, did you have other questions about the budget, or just was that your main concern at this point?
I think that was my main, and I understand some of the problems, but I just felt like it should be stated.
I agree that your concern is well taken. I didn't mean to say it wasn't.
No, I understand. I understand.
I'm just trying to point out
I understand how tough the situation is for you. I'm not really trying to make it harder, but I just felt like, it's sort of to at least admit that this is what's happening. And okay.
Yeah, and I think, on some levels we almost want to book this as a debt, so that, we hope that New York will become shiningly successful and suddenly make
money. We will.
See, and then you'll be able to pay the national office, and
absolutely.
And suddenly we'll have surpluses, and then we can invest them in some annuity and some dollar that isn't devaluing faster than you can earn it. So, Anyway, all right.
Just for the record, between just the pure rent, the office rent, and the power rent for the transmission, the two together constitute 23% of our total expenses.
We feel your pain.
But that's always been the case.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why the only people I know who live in New York live with their parents.
The monthly amount is
$36,000.
It's $60,000 altogether.
No, we know that. It's that's why really to be in the New York market, one would like the station to own a building because that's the only way to survive in these high rent districts. And you know, and B, to be like tremendously successful because you're in a huge populous, you know, city full of fantastic intellectuals.
Even if we get over that, by the way, it's still going to cost a lot to have an antenna on the Empire State Building.
That's why you're going to be dramatically successful.
That's not going to change.
That's what you need if you want to reach 30 million people.
That's $33,000 a month.
So we only need like 3 million of them to become regular subscribers because WBAI is the station to listen to in New York, and then you'll have enough money to support the rest of the network, okay? So that's the goal, okay? The best station in New York, and everyone's listening to it. And in the meantime, we've got to figure out how to pay the bills. So, All right. So I don't know. Are there any other questions for tonight? I've asked as many as I can think of right at the moment. Several concerns have been brought forward by various members. A lot of us are on the same page in terms of accounting for these, you know, various issues.
I'd like to summarize what,
please,
you know,
by all means.
Okay. The number one issue is will we be able to increase fulfillment rate to 73.9%? And then if we can do that, this budget is very realistic. If we can do better, then you know, we're doing well. The other concern might be unproven revenue, such as car donation. We expect to do a little increase. Major donor, we expect to increase by 20,000. I mean, I do not mean to kind of, you know, fight or anything like that, but basically, before, you know, we, like, management was, you know, in transition and not actively doing this, but lately it's been kind of, you know, things have been getting together. We've been getting a team of interns. And we have been tackling issues one at a time at BAI as well as administratively. And so this, you know, the fact that we're able to have an event and have 600 people fill out an auditorium shows that, you know, we are on the path to establish better management of skills and that would help us do some of these things. Also, reaching out to the members is going to be a long-term investment, but I think in the long run, it's going to increase our fulfillment rate. The next thing I can say about that is the BI body system. I am betting on that. It might be slower than I expect, but eventually, if we get to bring about 5,000 people at $10 a month, that's $50,000 a month cash flow, that would change a lot of things around here. So these, you know, like the bright future, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, and we hope it's not an oncoming train, right? So, sorry,
Madame.
Yes, Alberto.
Can we say good night now? Since we've reached pretty much at the end of our discussion here.
Yeah, I think we can. I just want to, for the record, just to formalize what we had discussed before we went on the stream. And I thank you, Berthold Reimers, for being on the call with us tonight to go over your budget in New York. If you could go ahead and make those changes. I'm thinking just as a final thought on this budget before we close out on it for the evening. Something that I kind of envision as maybe the rider on central services having to do with the 5% versus the 19%. Is that there be something in writing that, you know, obviously you're working on increasing your fulfillment rates, that any monies that are raised that exceed these budget expectations, you know, are immediately put towards the central services? Because sometimes stations, when they're not paying a certain bill or something and they get more money than they expect or something, feel that's money that's available to do something else with. And I would want it formalized that, like, anything that exceeds budget expectations, and, you know, obviously we hope you're striving to do that, would be applied towards central services. So I'm not putting forward a motion tonight to that effect, but I think something along those lines might be appropriate, so that, you know, if you get fulfillment up to 75%, you know, and that extra 2% makes the difference, that that money go to bringing down the central services debt. So something along those lines.
And we need to add, Madam Chair, that, you know, central services is an integral part of each of the signal areas. And
exactly.
It is as required and as needed as everything else. And
rent and salaries, of course.
And everything else. And unfortunately, whatever cushions there used to be before all of us came on to this committee are long gone.
Yeah.
For many of the same reasons. And now we're trying to turn this situation around. Like Bertel says, and I applaud Bertel and Alex and definitely R. Paul for their zeal, to go out and turn this around. And that's all I have to say. I really applaud you guys for really going in there and taking the bull by the horns and trying to shake some money out of the bull.
Likewise. And then on to for WPFW, I think we're fine with discussions for tonight on WEI. I would suggest that all of us please take a closer look at this budget, and if there are any other adjustments or if we notice anything anomalous, to go ahead and email you know, Bertolt and Laverne or R. Paul, so that it gets back into amending this budget before we see it again. And also, Bertolt, if you could send out the budget when it has any corrections made to it a little in advance of the next meeting, so we have an opportunity to review it so that we could hopefully approve it at the next meeting. Okay, that would be helpful with any motions that seem warranted by the committee. And then for WPFW, Bertolt, do you feel that you had said that, you know, you could get us the WPFW budget with all of the numbers?
Tomorrow afternoon. Actually, when we were waiting to load the WBAI stuff, I was
working on PFW.
Entering the information in PFW.
Okay, so certainly, let's say before the end of this week, you will have the WPFW budget to us so that we have ample time to review it. And again, I would ask committee members, if you see anomalous entries or questions or anything that doesn't make sense to you, and you have an opportunity to communicate prior to the next meeting with Bertolt and or Laverne or Bruce Wolf, in this case, as the treasurer from PFW, that you do so that, again, hopefully we can have any of the edits finished before then, and, you know, God willing, we actually could approve WBAI's and WPFW's budget at the meeting on the 30th, and that would be very, very, very helpful. And we would be down to KPFK and the national office budget, which, you know, by my math, hopefully that would mean maybe one more meeting and we could be done with this and, you know, at least feel that we've accomplished that and can get these things passed through the national board, all right? So all that being said, is there anything further? Or
I have one quick thing further.
Please.
Bertolt, will you cross your heart and hope to die if you do not put out the WPFW template by the end of this week?
Absolutely.
Hey, there you go. I have all the
information that I need.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much, Bertolt.
Okay. So I guess would someone like to go ahead and bring that motion to adjourn? I'll happily entertain it at this time.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, thank you. And are there any objections to that? Okay, and hearing none, I'd again like to thank everyone for your time tonight on the National Finance Committee. I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, happy whatever you celebrate. At least I hope you enjoy some good food and a little time off, and have a great week. And we will speak again in 2 weeks on this call, and hopefully be able to approve.
And some of us will be speaking next Tuesday.
Well, some of us will be speaking next Tuesday, but I was trying to overlook that unhappiness and thinking at least this committee gets the holiday off. So bless everyone. And the rest of you that I'll speak to on Tuesday, I'll see you on Tuesday. But for everyone else, enjoy your break. And
I will.
We'll see you back on the 30th.
I promise, Alex, that I'll have my bottle of Old Crow sitting here with me next Tuesday.
see?
Good.
Yes, everyone has to figure out their survival strategy.
Good night.
Thank you all. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye. You can hang up.
Later, guys.
Thank you, Bertolt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hasta luego. Onward through the fog.
Hasta mañana.
Hasta mañana, señor. Gracias.